Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Last week, we spoke to members of the Indian community in Ireland about their concerns about the rise in the number of racially motivated attacks that have been happening across the country. And we had a lot of reaction to this. More emails from listeners over the course of the weekend talking about their own experiences. Hamda's with me on the line today because, Hamda, you're Pakistani, you're based here in Ireland. I believe your son was recently racially abused outside your home. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me. Yes, so my son was playing outside in the green of our estate. And he came to me and said that this boy who is, I think, 10 or 11 year old, another boy from the estate, he said to him that you ugly N-word black person, go back to your home. Oh, and yeah, this is what happened.
This is to your little boy, Hamda.
Yeah, and my son is 10 years old.
He's 10.
He was 10 at that time, yeah. So the both the boys were 10 year old. And my son was like, where do I go? What is my home? My kids are born my kids have known no other home than Ireland.
Yeah.
So we have been here for the last 12 years.
Right.
They are, I would say, as Irish as any other child. They, English is their first language. They play with the same kids. They go to the same school. So I think my son found it hard to understand why he was hurled this abuse.
And this was just out playing in the green or the park, Amda, was it?
Yes, just kids playing in the park. And for some reason, I don't blame the kids where this is coming from. Is it? I refuse to believe that a 10-year-old can come up with something like this.
Even the understanding of what it means or the context and when somebody might use something like that.
Maybe that other 10-year-old child does not even know what he's saying. So we went to their home and I asked my son. We took my son to their house and I asked my son to tell the mom that this happened. And thankfully, we got an apology. Some of the other neighbors intervened. And they apologized, and this kid's mom was visibly embarrassed.
Yeah,
and everything was okay in the end, except for the fact that I refuse to believe that a 10-year-old can come up with something like this. Where is this coming from? Are these your dinner time conversations? Are the kids watching something on TikTok? I know this is lots going on social media. So where do you get it from?
Where did the little boy, where did the other 10-year-old hear this in the first place? And look, I can imagine it must be any parent's nightmare, to think that you open the door and, another neighbour is there and telling this story about something your child said and the upset that it's caused to you, Hamda, and your little boy. And at least, look, the family member in this case apologised, but it makes it very difficult.
It does. And in another incident, my son came home and he said that some of the boys were telling him that his face color looks like it looks like he has smeared sand over his face because he's so brown. And I know, I just don't know where do kids get it from. Yeah. It's just weird because most of the kids, as I said, I've been here for many years. Kids are kids. They just play and do the kids stuff. I just think that there's lots either in going on inside homes with these conversations going on, or it's the social media. But something is fueling this up, and these incidents are becoming so frequent, especially in the last 12 months.
So this is two incidents that at 10 years of age, Hamdi, your little boy, has experienced.
Yes.
Yeah. And it must be very unsettling for him. You know, should you say he's born in Ireland, he's grown up in Ireland, he doesn't know anything else, only Ireland. I don't know what part of the country you're in, but you know, but he's as Irish as any other child sitting beside him in the class, and it must be very confusing for him.
It is confusing for us as parents. Like we just think that this whole narrative around, you know, immigrants are causing harm to Ireland and scapegoating every immigrant in those debates creates such a dangerous narrative. And it makes it's deeply harmful for anyone who does not look Irish. It's deeply harmful for our kids, for our children, who actually, I can easily say they're more Irish than they're Pakistanis, because, you know, this is the society they have grown up in. And a few days ago, I was having this chat with a woman in a skin clinic, and she was, you know, how casually things go, and she was telling me about that she's not happy that Ireland is a part of EU. And I said, okay, out of curiosity, I asked, is there anything in particular you're not happy with Ireland being a part of the EU? And she said, yes, immigrants. And I'm just looking at her, and this woman is poking needles in my face. And I'm saying, oh, okay. And I said, you mean people like me? And she said, no, not people like you. You're working and you're paying taxes, but I'm talking about the other immigrants. And I said, who are those other immigrants? You know, the freeloaders. And then I had to explain several times that immigrants include actually all of us who contribute to the society. We live here. We work hard every single day to support the Irish infrastructure. And then and careless language in such discussions can be so deeply harmful to anyone who does not look Irish. And then she mentioned that, you know, by year 2040, there'll be more non-Irish people in Ireland than Irish people. And then I said, I think by year 2040, it would be my children and your children in Ireland. And the only difference between them is the color of their skins. I said, no, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other immigrants. Yeah. And I said, no, this language, this whole narrative is so dangerous for my children. I'm so worried. And I was lying down on that, I was in that clinic at that time. And I was thinking, if her kids meet my kids, and I would be so scared. Because if this is the sentiment at home, then this sentiment comes out in various ways through children, through teenagers, through those, through kids, because adults can control themselves.
This is where they hear it.
Yeah,
and
this is where they hear it.
Is this the first time, Hamdi, when you talk about the rise in you know, racially motivated comments and that sort of careless language that's being used? Is this the first time in your, you know, since you've been in Ireland that you've felt like this, that you've felt this level of concern?
I think it has grown terribly. You know, it has grown exponentially over the last 12 months, I would say. I have a Facebook group. Its name is Pakistani Women in Ireland. And recently I'm seeing posts every day, women sharing their experiences of what happened. So definitely I think we are going through the worst now. It wasn't like that 3 years ago. No, I have been here and I've this like last couple of years have been terrible, and I can see this. I can see this tension is rising every single day now.
It's really worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is for sure.
Stay with me if you don't mind, Hamdan. Look, and I appreciate you getting in touch with us and sharing your story with us here today on the programme, because we spoke to one listener last week, you know, who was really concerned about the fact that people, we aren't talking about this enough, and that's why we wanted to make some time here on the show. Santosh is with me. Dr. Santosh Yaddo is with me on the line today, because Santosh, you were physically attacked.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much. So, yes, I was being attacked on 27th of July. So, first, maybe I can tell about myself. I'm a PhD in multimodal artificial intelligence, and I'm working here in Ireland for the last 4 years. I'm paying taxes as any other individuals, working individuals. And I'm at a senior position and, contributing to the Irish economy and building a lot of AI algorithms and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, the incident had happened on 27th July evening around 11 p.m. when I was walking after my dinner. So usually I go for walk after dinner and before sleeping, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good for health, you know. So I was walking and these 5-6 teenagers, they approached from behind. It had happened in front of Clondalkin train station. So they approached from behind. Immediately they snatched my glasses and they started punching me. And it was quite sudden and shocking. I could not realize what is happening. I could not even see their faces properly. I could not even count if they were like 5 people or 6 people. They all just started hitting me and they hit me on my leg, hand, and on the back, and then on the chest, and on my head. Like I had very heavy bruising on my head. And then also on my face. So when they hit, I was bleeding from my nose, from the cheek, and from the ears. It was quite, sudden and shocking.
It must have been terrifying.
Yeah. Immediately, I tried to open my phone and tried to record them. And they saw me recording. And then, they were about to leave. But they came back again and they have been... just because I was trying to record that something is happening with me, And they hit me again, and after that they left. I was like full of blood from my leg, hand, and my face and ears and everywhere,
And did anybody witness this, Santosh?
Yeah, I was with my friend. She was actually screaming and she was trying to save me, but they haven't listened to her, and she was just trying to protect me, and I think it was good that she was with me, and that's why I think they left me like that. Otherwise they could have harmed more,
And how badly injured were you?
I was I was bleeding, and she was trying to protect me. And then once they left, she immediately searched for Garda number. Mm. I spoke to the Garda, and she also called at my flat. So my flatmates, they came to kind of rescue me. And Garda has sent ambulance. They took me from near my apartment, and they have taken me to Blanchestown Hospital. I was hospitalized in Blanchestown Hospital for more than 15 hours, and two of the doctors have inspected me, and I have gone through CT scan of my head, CT scan of my face, and X-ray of my body. And they have mentioned that my cheekbone is fractured. So it's still fractured. I'm waiting for my next appointment
to try and get that seen too. And it's terrible, Santosh, to hear what happened to you and the trauma of that. And I'm sure for you, I'm sure you must be frightened. And are you in the evenings if you back out for a walk, since it must stay with you?
Yeah, it's very scary to go out, it's happening everywhere. It's in the buses, it's in the lures, it's in the city center, it's everywhere, And a lot of people, after I posted on LinkedIn and, people have seen from there, many of the people have reached out to me and they have shared their own experiences. And it's a terrible. So, in the Blanchestown Hospital, they did not have specialization for the treatment of this bone fracture. So they have immediately spoken to James Hospital and they have booked my appointment to the James.
So you'll get it there. Well, look, I hope you get it, you know, you get that repaired as soon as possible. It's very recent, only in the 27th of July, Santosh, that happened to you. And I'm so sorry to hear that. And I hope you're doing okay. And those that were behind it, you know, are brought, well, feel the full rap of the law as a result of this. Like, it's shocking to hear what's happening. I think have we Shaina with us on the line today? Shaina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea. Thank you for having me on the call.
You were listening to Hamda and Santosh there.
Oh my God, I'm just shook. When the call started, I really wanted to share my story with all zeal and excitement that, you know, let's just put the word out there. But listening to the stories, it's heart-wrenching, especially with Dr. Santosh's story, Hamda, what her son had to go through. It's just heart-wrenching.
What happened to you?
So I have a son who's 9 years old. I'm based in Kildare, and every Thursday he has his football class. The football club is just 5 minutes walk from our house, and I can actually see it. Usually he goes out alone. That particular evening, I decided to just drop him. While we were going towards his club, there was a person, I don't even want to name the gender, because that person was very unapologetic. Okay. And to the extent that person threatened me that, you know, I can actually put a defamation lawsuit on you. So I got very, very scared. So that person was walking towards us with the dog, not on lead. And we very politely signaled that person that, you know, we are scared. Can you just put it on lead? Very rudely and very dismissively, the person told us just to keep walking on. And, you know, she just put in a few cuss words and just asked us to keep going along. We kept moving along, but the dog didn't stop. It just kept coming towards us. I requested that person again to just put it on lead. This time, the person turned around and was very angry and very loudly, right in the middle of the track, that person shouted at us that I can say whatever the F I want, and if you have issues, you just should go back to your country. And it was so loud, and she was so enraged at that person that my son there, he began shaking, he began crying. And I had to, you know, every time I recall the story, it's
very
traumatic
emotional.
For me.
Because of course it is.
We just came to Ireland 2 years ago, and we moved from Dubai, where different ethnicities live together. To my surprise, all the teachers that my son has ever studied from were all Irish. The salon I used to go back in Dubai, it was owned by Irish. That was my first interaction with Irish, and I always found them very friendly, very accommodating.
Yeah.
And when we came here with the same mindset that, you know, we'll all again coexist peacefully, and that's what happens. This was my first ever encounter of such a sort, but I've heard stories from my friends, and when they would tell me their stories, I would feel bad, I would feel horrible. But it only affects you when it affects you, when you were there. From that day onwards, my son has refused to go out alone to play. I have to be there with him, or his father has to be there with him all the time, because he's so scared. And we're Muslims. We don't, I hope you all know, we don't eat pork. And that's okay. In this world, people don't eat gluten. Yeah. People are vegan. I think we all should have respect for that. So there's a bunch of kids in his school who always, so his name is, I don't know if I should say, but his name is Ibrahim. So there's a bunch of kids in his school who would always tell him, Ibrahim, eat your ham. Ibrahim, you should eat your ham. That also affects him very negatively, because he would always come back and he would always be sad that why do they just keep saying that? I never say such things to anybody. Then why is it that they always say such things to me? But, you know, as parents, you always inculcate kindness and respect. And we always tell them, even though I've always told him to never get affected by bullies. And I always tell him that bullies can exist in every shape and size. We work in offices. People face all sorts of bullying in every walk of life. So that's okay. Never feel bad. Never feel small.
So people tell you're a little boy. And what age is he? Remind
he's
me.
He's nine. He's going
nine,
to be 10 now.
Nine, 10.
But, and you know, such experiences, they kind of... They expedite your maturity. So you become mature way before you should be. And now that incident is so, it's etched deeply in his memory.
Yeah.
And every time we step out, every time we're in city center, every time we're around the crowd. And, you know, the funny bit, when this situation got out of hand, there were people who actually reached out to me and they told me that they know where that person works and I should actually go and report it to her company, because the company the person works in is all about no to racism, all about inclusivity. Of course, I didn't do that because I thought it's going to just blow out of proportion, but...
Sure, I know, and it could anyone could work for any employer. Sure, I suppose it doesn't really matter who they work for. It's, you know, if this is the kind
of... The surprising bit was that she was an adult. The person was an adult. And it was one adult, and then there was a kid with me. I kept telling that person that, you know, I have a kid with me. And all that person did was just show us, you know, the honourable finger, and just they just walked away.
And how is your how is your little boy now, Shaina, when you talk to him? You know, if he's reluctant to go out on his own to play with friends.
He still is reluctant to go out on his own. So I have to send him with a big group of friends, or I have to be there. I just keep walking on the track while he just cycles around and does whatever. But I don't think he would ever forget it. And this would always, and we tell him that, you know, this is just a very small fraction of people. But the surprising bit is this fraction of people is often educated. They're working in big companies. They know what they're doing. In Hamda's case, it was a boy. We can give them a benefit of the doubt that maybe it's just a bad influence they were in. Maybe they heard something bad. In this case, it's an adult talking such things. What do you make out of it? How can somebody have so much hate in them, so much displeasure in them for somebody they don't even know?
It's very, very upsetting, Shaina. And you know what? I think for a lot of our listeners today, maybe just people aren't aware of the extent of this kind of racially motivated language and discourse that's happening and directed, you know, at people very publicly to their face, like you've just heard from Shaina and Hamda and Dr. Sandush Yadav there as well. I just want to read this text from Sadia that's come in. She says, my 8-year-old was called the N-word and told to go back, you don't belong here, outside the house when she was playing. But the beautiful thing that happened in the green was that her friends came to her rescue. Told the little boy off, gave out to him, told him that it was rude and wasn't nice. They came to me and explained and told me what happened and why my daughter was upset. They sat with her and told her not to worry and don't listen to them. I went to the small kid and talked to him, and he'd no idea that what he said was rude. He said, my parents call brown people the N-word. I couldn't get hold of the parents when I tried, but I felt really sorry for the kid involved in this case, but I thought it was really beautiful to see what the other kids in the green did that day when they sat with my daughter. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable that at 8, 9 and 10 years of age, these are the kind of experiences that so many of our listeners are having to deal with. Look, keep your stories coming into us. You can email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But I want to thank Hamda and Dr. Sanda Shiodow and Shaina for sharing all of their stories. And as difficult as they are, sharing their stories and their experiences with us here today on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.